When you reflect on experiences that have changed your life, maybe that includes coming of age, the rite of passage stuff in high school, college, early career advice. Maybe it's finding the life partner, having a child, discovering a calling, maybe even a near-death experience. But what about baking? Could a loaf of bread change your life? Could a cookie bring about world peace? Whoa, for our next guest, she attests that baking did indeed change her life, and it might just change yours. You can join our conversation for Food Friday today at 1-800-642-1234. What type of baker are you, and has it changed your life? What's the last thing you baked, and what would you recommend we put in the oven this weekend? Let us know today at 1-800-642-1234. You can always post on the Ideas Facebook page or email us ideas@wpr.org. Dori Greenspan is a New York Times bestselling and James Beard award-winning food author and columnist. She recently received the Order of Agricultural Merit from the French government for her writing about French cuisine. Her new cookbook is her 14th. It's called Baking with Dori, Sweet, Salty, and Simple. Dori, welcome back to Central Time.
It's so good to be back with you. Thank you.
I'm excited to have you and your recipes, over 150 in this new book, your 14th. Can you give us some perspective on what it's like with 30 years of helping with, as Julia Child and you describe, as cookbookery?
I love the word cookbookery. And it was the way Julia, who I was lucky enough to work with, it was the way she described everything cookbook, writing, creating recipes, talking to people about it, cookbookery. It's so much has changed over 30 years. When I wrote my first book, which was called Sweet Times, the only thing I knew for sure was that my mother had a copy because I gave it to her. Now we as authors and as home bakers and cooks can all be in touch with one another. Everything changed with the internet, the ability to make a community around baking and cooking.
So with the advent of the internet and everything's just a click away, you come up with 150 new recipes. You would think that everything's already been done that can be done in the kitchen. But Dori, where did you go to find something new?
Well, this is always a really hard question for me. I think the ideas for recipes, the inspiration for making food comes from so many places. It came from travel until the pandemic and I couldn't travel any longer. It came from going to the market. It came from talking to people. It came from working. And this sounds strange, I know, but I feel like work, the more you work at something, the more creative you get, the more focused you are, the more open your viewpoint. And so I would find myself just always thinking, and this has been true for years, always thinking about food. Always, I'll be working on something and think, oh, what if I, yeah, like a what if moment. What if I put miso and maple together in a cake? What if I took oysterettes, those cute little crackers that we put on top of clam chowder? What if I took those crackers and made them the top crust? What if I made the clam chowder into a pie? It's just when you're so focused on something, as I am on food, ideas just come.
So what's your failure rate then, Dori Greenspan, when it comes to trying out something new? Are there things that are left on the cutting room floor?
Oh, Lee, of course there are. I'm laughing because what I failed at with this book, the failure that comes to mind first, was something so simple, and I just couldn't get it right. I had made a Dutch baby. You know those?
Oh yeah, a pancake, right, okay. in a big pan, put in the oven.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I'd been making them since forever, and I made a savory Dutch baby, and I made a sweet one for this book. And I was so happy with them. They were gorgeous. I still have a picture that I took is still on my desktop because I just loved it so much. After I made it, after the recipe was tested, when I went back to make it again, I couldn't get it right. I just couldn't get it right. It didn't work. Is right. I had no idea. The Dutch baby never came back. It was as though, you know, demons had come swooping into my kitchen and took my Dutch baby away, kidnapped my Dutch baby. So, yeah, left somewhere in the oven, but not in the book.
Very interesting. And as your newest book starts out, Baking with Dory, you start with a look at weights, measures, essential ingredients, and then you wrap up with the idea of basics, must-knows, and fill-ups, and everything in between, from breakfast to dinner and desserts, and with 150 new recipes. Mm-hmm. And you get them across as you travel, but we haven't been able to travel a lot recently as a result of the pandemic. And for folks who are looking to have this transcendental eating experience on the road, once they're able to do so safely again, what suggestions would you have, Dory?
Well, so I'm lucky because I live in America and I live in France. So a lot of my inspiration came from being in France, sharing food with friends, being able to travel. And when I travel, I make lists and then never follow them. That's kind of what I do with shopping for groceries and making recipes too. It's all kind of what if, as I said, but wander, keep your eyes open, turn a corner, be curious. I think curiosity is what I think brings us great experiences. When I was working with Julia Child, I thought about the way she worked and thought, there were so many things that were wonderful about her, but what was so wonderful was how curious she was about things. And I think about that all the time as I'm working. So the first half, I was working on Baking with Dory and traveling, and the cover recipe, which is a chocolate cake. I love this cake. It's almost like a brownie on the bottom.
Yeah.
And then it's a whipped ganache, so chocolate and whipped cream on top. And then there's a layer of cocoa that it's just thick enough to be its own layer and its own flavor. And it's called the Lisbon chocolate cake. And I got that recipe. Talking about being curious and wandering, we were headed for the airport. We saw this cafe. We had this cake, and it became the cover. you never know what's going to come up. So in the beginning of working on this book, I was traveling around. I was talking to other bakers. I was tasting new things. And then I was home.
Yeah.
And so the second half of the book, I think of as my Stop and Shop, which is our local grocery store. That's my stop and those are my Stop and Shop recipes. Those all I've always been a simple baker and I've always used accessible ingredients, but this was a big change from what I thought this book was going to be. And I think that being home, baking for my family, using ingredients that were very simple, made this a better book.
Dory Greenspan is the author of Baking with Dory. She's our guest for Food Friday, and we'd love to hear from you this afternoon about what you find fun about baking and the sweet, salty, and simple that you'd recommend for us to try in the kitchen at 1-800-642-1234. And Dory, you've shared a couple of recipes with us that we've posted on our website. Folks can find them at wpr.org/foodfriday. And first is one that I tried last night because it was so easy I couldn't resist, your caramel apple crisp. And it starts with me actually making a caramel myself. And I thought, well, maybe that's not so simple. But the way you talked us through it in the book made it very easy, that much more rewarding. And I can't tell you how delicious it is today.
Oh, Lee, I am so happy. You know, I think caramel is one of those things that you think you can really only buy in a jar or be served, right? Or that you have to melt the candies to make it.
Right.
But it's really... You said rewarding, and I feel that way about so much of baking, and I really feel that way about caramel. That you watch it change, you can see the sugar changing color. You take a little test, you put a little drop of it on a white plate, and you think, that's the color I want. I'm done. I did it. there's something, I mean, this is, I find this true in all baking, but it's so satisfying. I'm still, after all these years, I'm still so proud of myself. Yeah, so hearing you say that, that makes me so happy. Thank you for making that.
No, thank you. You should be proud. And I get to enjoy the, all of your work and whatever failed experiments led to this recipe. Again, WPR.org/Food Friday. But another key component of this, of course, is the fruit. And as we are at the launch of the holiday season, we're going to be finding baking with fruit as part of probably most folks' baking tendencies this time of year. Do you have any suggestions for what it takes to bake with fruit, Dori?
Well, so the crisp is made with apples. You could make it with pears. You could make it. You need a firm fruit like apple or pear. But I have in the book, there are these, they came about quite by accident, but there are these kind of mini collections that I call sweethearts. And apples are one of my sweethearts. And I know that a lot of people have favorite apples, or you read a recipe and it says, make this with a Honeycrisp, or make this. I kind of throw all of that up in the air and say, when you're baking with apples, bake with whatever apples you like. I mean, you can't use a Macintosh. It'll fall apart in this crisp. But use a variety of apples, especially now when apples are so, we're just coming into apple season and there are so many delicious varieties available. Play around a little bit. Put 4 different apples into your apple pie. That way you'll get different levels of sweetness and juiciness and tartness. I'm a firm believer in playing around.
Well, yesterday I used a combination of Fuji and Golden Delicious in my apple crisp, and I would recommend you to try it and find out for yourself what you find with our guest, Dori Greenspan, and her new book, Baking with Dori, and the recipes that are available for you online right now at WPR.org/Food Friday. It's Food Friday on Central Time, and I'm Lee Rayburn in for Rob Ferret. Pick up on our talk with award-winning food writer Dori Greenspan about her new cookbook, her 14th over 30 years, Baking with Dori. Sweet, salty, and simple. Want to hear from you when it comes to sweet, salty, and simple in the kitchen at 1-800-642-1234, always on Facebook, or email ideas at WPR.org. Dori, another recipe I was able to whip up last night, because it's literally right there in the title, is Whip It Up Quick Cornbread. Now, while it may be quick, I also found this to be incredibly decadent. It starts with melting a stick of butter, and then you add some buttermilk to that, and from there, well, it's just easy, but it's also delicious.
Oh, I love that you baked last night.
Sure.
You're my hero. So I love cornbread. And I didn't grow up in a house where anybody cooked or baked, but my mom could add water to a box of cornbread mix. And she often did. And I've always wanted to make a cornbread that both reminded me of childhood and tasted the way I wanted it to as a grown-up. And this is it. And you're right. Cornbread is so quick to make. It's both a quick bread, meaning that it gets its rise from baking powder, not from yeast. And it's also just quick to make. And I love this recipe because, like so many of my recipes, I try to do this as often as I can. You can customize it. You can add things. You can think about what you like in cornbread and put that in. And so if you have jalapeno pepper and that's your, you like that, you can add that. You can add bacon if you want, or scallions or herbs, or, and just take a basic recipe and make it your house recipe.
I am not a baker, Dori, but you made it so I could be, at least for a night. And I think of others who are like, well, I'm not a baker. Why would I give this a try? What would you say to the beginner? And what motivational speech would you relay to them?
So it's a two-part question, Lee, I think. So the first is, what would I say to people who say, I'm not a baker? I don't know why. I think baking gets a rough rap. People think it's hard or it's precise or it's scientific. But the fact is, if you follow the recipe, I think baking is actually easier than cooking. You don't have as many judgment calls in baking. You follow the recipe, you get something delicious. But the motivation for baking is pleasure. It's the only reason. No, it's the only thing I can think. The only reason I can think of to bake. I tried all through my career to make sweets, you know, a major food group, and I failed. So it doesn't work. I know that. I understand. I'm now a grown up. But we bake because the process of baking is pleasurable. It's fun to touch ingredients, to work with them, to see them change as you're working. We bake to share. I mean, we bake cookies in batches. We bake, you know, cakes that we slice into portions bigger than one most often. So there's the pleasure of baking. There's the joy of sharing it. And as you said before, when you were talking about making the crisp, there's the satisfaction of having made something delicious. And I can't explain why I feel that that's different from cooking something, but it just it feels different. And maybe once again, because it's we don't need to bake. I need to bake, but you know, I understand. But you know, it's not a necessary activity of daily living.
Dori Greenspan, we recently did a segment on Central Time comparing the official state pastry of Wisconsin, the Kringle, to the longest running and most popular food item at the state fair, the cream puff. As I understand it, you are in love with the cream puff pastry. What would you recommend we do with it for those who are maybe not cream puff fans?
Oh, talk about a question coming out of left field.
Just curious. Well, way into this debate.
I don't want to, I mean, the Kringle, I don't want, okay, so Kringle, the dough itself, I'm obsessed and fascinated by the dough. So the dough is a choux paste or a cream puff dough. It can be both sweet and savory. It normally doesn't have any sugar in it. It's one of the only doughs I know of that you cook and then bake. So, and it's just the dough itself is interesting. And from that, you can make cream puffs. You can make eclairs. You can make profiterole. You can make savory cheese puffs. It's such an interesting dough. Now, the cream puff. Who wouldn't love? I feel like this is like, you know, debating. I'm on the debate
You're
team.
Wading into it, Dori.
Can cream puffs win? So it's think of the possibilities with a cream puff. You've got this sweet little ball that just says to you, I'll be anything you want me to be. You can fill it with ice cream, with whipped cream, with pudding. You can make it savory, put in mushrooms, put in cheese. I mean, who wouldn't love, you can put sauce on it. That caramel that you made,
leaves
over a cream puff. Who wouldn't love the possibilities of a cream puff?
Some jaded Kringle fans would just be my educated guest, Dori Greenspan. and before we go, I teased this earlier, but I really must know how we attain world peace. And maybe Food Friday isn't the best segment for us to achieve it, but you have a recipe for world peace cookies, so forgive me for trying. There's also a story behind this recipe. Could you share it with us?
Yeah, so this cookie, I got the original recipe for it more than 20 years ago from Pierre Hermé. It was called the Korova cookie. It's a chocolate cookie, a cross between a shortbread, and it's a little chewier because it has brown sugar. It has pieces of chopped chocolate, and it has fleur de sel. It's a hand-harvested French salt in it. So it's salt. It is everything. It's salty. It's sweet. It's simple. And it was perfect. And then a neighbor of mine said, whatever you call that cookie, we call it the world peace cookie because if everybody had this cookie, peace would reign. And over the years, people have written to me and said, I've made it with peanut butter. I've made it with mint. And I said, that's nice. I'm never changing it. A friend of mine, Charlotte Druckman, wrote a book called Women on Food. And she asked me if I would update, revise, change the world peace cookie. And I said, no. And then I thought about it. And so I thought, I can make a cookie that has ingredients that represent characteristics that I admire in women. And so to that chocolate cookie, I added cocoa nibs for strength, rye flour for earthiness, chili pepper for that like sense of unpredictability, and freeze-dried raspberries for kind of verve, sassiness, that brightness. And it was delicious. I wouldn't have published it if it weren't delicious. So this cookie now is both interesting, I think, and so delicious. Will it bring peace? We won't know until everyone bakes it and shares it.
So the key here is that everybody's got to bake and share the world peace cookies, and then we'll see where we stand. And it goes to the heart of, you know, in many ways, what is a travelogue, a memoir, and 150 new recipes with your new book, Baking with Dory. Dory Greenspan, can there really be something new under the sun when it comes to the good old-fashioned chocolate chip cookie?
Yes. Yes.
That was easy.
Yes. I think I question that, but I feel as though every time you work on a cookie, you work on a recipe, there's something you can add, that little bit of something unexpected. There's a recipe, the Moco Nuts cookie, which I love, that has poppy seeds in it. It also has a little bit of rye flour, and it has cranberries, and it is a chocolate chip cookie, but
it's a new chocolate chip cookie.
It's a new way of looking at chocolate chip cookies.
Dory, I'm sorry we are out of time, but it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for baking with Dory.
Thank you so much, Lee, for baking with Dory.
My pleasure. Dory Greenspan, New York Times bestselling and James Beard award-winning food author and columnist. She's recently received the Order of Agricultural Merit from the French government for her writing about French cuisine, and her new cookbook, her 14th, is called Baking with Dory, Sweet, Salty, and Simple.